of prayer is when it comes to mission work. You know, the kind of a trite slogan that we hear many times for many years, you need to pray, you need to give, and you need to go, and all of that. And many times at Missions Conference, we do put good emphasis on the going, and we do put good emphasis on the giving. But praying sometimes is often overlooked. We mention it. And sometimes, if you are not actively involved in ministry, especially in missionary work overseas, sometimes it's very difficult to understand why it's important or how to even pray. I hope tonight I'll be able to help you a little bit with that. You know, it's always been a little bit of a joke of what's the purpose of a prayer card. Can you grab me one from over there? Just any of them. You know, what's the purpose of these things? I mean, we've had some people say, you know, is it because missionaries are narcissistic? Do we just need a big business card? Make sure we have a big picture on the front. Is it that? I don't think so. You know, is it? One guy said he used it as a diet program. Might be something. You can put this on the internet, maybe. It'd be good. He says he actually had a bunch of these cards, and he would put it across his refrigerator. And what he would do is that before he opened the refrigerator, he would have to pray for everyone that was on the refrigerator. And by the time he got done praying, he was no longer hungry. It worked for him. Of course, the name gives it away. A prayer card. The purpose of a prayer reminder. It's been said many times that it is your support that does help. Support is what helps the missionary get to the field, helps to pay the bills, it helps to get the plane tickets there, it helps to be able to provide for the cost of setting up, be able to living expenses, cost of getting the church set up and getting the hymn books, get the chairs and all of that. And it helps the missionary to get to the field, to set up, to establish. But it is the prayers of God's people that helps the missionary to stay on the mission field. And that's why it's so important. And I want you to make sure that we understand the importance of that. And tonight I would just like to draw your attention to a very simple verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, trying to close out the book to the churches there at Thessalonica, gives a special request towards the end of the book. It's there on your handout. The Bible says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says just a few words. Read it with me together. Brethren, pray for us. Isn't that odd? It was that the Apostle Paul would ask such a question. The Apostle Paul, who was the greatest missionary probably that's ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, he was an apostle. He was caught up into the third heaven. He was able to see and experience some amazing things. And you would think such a man such as he would have some type of direct line. I mean, you would think that he could be able to get immediate answers to immediate needs. But the Apostle Paul asked for prayer. And it's very interesting, the people he asked. The churches there at Thessalonica. By the way, though it was one of the churches of Macedonia, it was one of those churches. One of those churches that were in great trial of affliction and that were under much persecution and were in such deep poverty. But Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, asked them to pray for him. Isn't it wonderful that you don't have to have much to pray? A lot of people said, I wish I could do so much for missions. I wish I could give. I wish I could go. I wish I could do this. But you know what? Many times we don't understand the importance of intercessory prayer. The Apostle Paul realized it. He realized that the battle was much more than he could handle. He knew that the ministry needed God's people involved. He knew that intercessory prayer was the medium through which God could work. Oh, how much we need more prayer. Tonight, I would like to explain what a missionary means when he says, pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, I pray You would bless now the remaining moments we have this evening. Father, once again, I'm speaking to such a good church who's very connected to missions, who I know many of the members pray earnestly. But Father, help this to be a wonderful reminder for all of us. And maybe this will help to trigger some more prayers, some more in-depth prayers, some more knowledgeable prayers as we pray for the individual missionaries that are our responsibility here out of our church. I pray that You would bless now tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would make the right application that is needed, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I've looked through your missionaries that you support, I've looked at some of the prayer letters that are over here. It's amazing the responsibility that we have as a supporting church. Yes, we want to make sure that we are faithful and we give out our monthly support and we make sure that the checks are sent. And thank God for all the people who are faithful in giving and faithful in making sure the administration of it is all done, and thank God for it. But probably without exception, if those missionaries knew the depth of prayer that your church could offer, and if they knew that there was a choice between a congregation that was united in prayer for them or your financial support, nearly every missionary that I am aware of would say, I'll take the prayers, please. Many Christians wish that they could do more for God, more for the ministry, more to be able to help the pastor, more to be able to help mission work overseas. This is the avenue. Tonight I would like to be able to make emphasis on five different areas that can be able to help us. I would like for you to take the handout if you would please. It's simple. It's nothing that would be earth-shattering, but it will just help us as we pray to be able to pray now in some different categories. Put this in your Bible. Put this with your prayer list, whatever is needed, that would be able to pray for the individual ministries. And as you go through the missionaries that your church supports, the missionaries that your church has said you will be behind, this is what we need to do. And here are some areas that we can do that. Number one, let's look at some of the needs there. Number one, pray for their courage. Courage. It'll all be in letter C. Pray for their courage. We see there in the passage there in Ephesians chapter 6. I will read a couple extra verses there. The Bible says, starting in verse 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Interesting, Paul asked for utterance. He asked for boldness. He asked for the ability to explain the mysteries of the gospel. You would think by now, Paul, at this point, would be very versed in doing such things. He had already been preaching. He had already been evangelizing. He already had one missionary trip already. But here, now, it's a little bit different. The Apostle Paul here is now in a Gentile area as he is writing, working through different languages, working through the different culture there. And let me tell you, language learning and cultural acquisition is one of the largest courage killers that a missionary faces. Missionaries today, by and large, almost all of them are college graduates. Many have graduate degrees. We have some that have earned doctorates. And they go to the field and they go to language school. And you can imagine people that are of that caliber being reduced to that of a toddler, learning baby talk all over again. Learning acceptable behavior all over again. In many cultures, you have to be careful how you gesture, how you point, how you call someone. And you can highly offend. You can make some great cultural blunders. The joke is that the average American who is not perceptive can usually at least offend a dozen people before they leave the international airport. Just that we're just not overly averse in foreign culture and being sensitive to that. We are a melting pot of cultures. And let me tell you, there's nothing that kills the courage and the boldness of a missionary is to have to be able to learn the language and get that done. I remember some of our first days on the mission field there in our early months. And we had wonderful churches trying to contact us. And that was, of course, that was before email and all of that. And we would get the snail mail letters and questionnaires and everything. And how many people have gotten saved, Brother Bowman? Hey, how many churches have you planted? Boy, tell us all that happened. I'm like, you're kidding me. Really? Seriously? I just figured out how to ask where the bathroom is. I mean, come on. Please. I mean, it can be very, very discouraging. Trying to figure out how things are and how things go. And let me tell you, and you're trying to evangelize and you're trying to be able to speak to the people on the street. You're trying to be able to converse with people in the stores. And you're speaking infantile talk. It's humbling, isn't it? And I always had my little phrase, forgive me, I am learning this language. Will you help me? And usually then, they'll be like, oh, sure, I'll help you. And then you'll get a whole spiel of everything you just did wrong. You know, but you just kind of learn to laugh at yourself and learn to laugh at the situation and you just move on. But how would you fit in such a situation? Pray for your missionaries. Pray for them. My experience in Swahili was that after nearly a year and a half of language school, yes, it took me longer. I'm a little slow. All right? It took me longer. I'm completely deaf in my right ear. And so it took me longer to be able to hear it, be able to get it all just right. And boy, I would struggle all during trying to be able to learn it and be able to converse. And being that they're in Kenya, it is a former British colony. So some people that would find out that I'm an American, immediately they would want to practice their English on me. Here I am trying to be able to practice my Swahili on them because you can imagine that type of a conversation. We got baby talk Swahili going this way, answering in baby talk English this way, and unique. Very difficult to be able to learn the language, especially in the capital city, but God was helpful. And you know, and sometimes, and Satan always has his people there too. You know, we realize that, right? The encouragers. What are you doing trying to butcher my language? I would rather struggle with your English than have you mess up my language. Well, that's encouraging. God bless you. Thank you. And things can happen that way. I have some that would say, you'll never learn Swahili. Use an interpreter. I tried until I started correcting. I was spending more time correcting the interpreter. No, I didn't say that. I said this. Don't use that word. I use this word. And trying to be able to help with that. And after language school, I had to work on my Sunday morning message. It would literally take me 3 days to develop a Sunday morning sermon. I would do all the studying. I would write it all out in English. And then I would work with the laborious task of translating it word for word, concept by concept, going over it. And going over it over and over, making sure that the word agreements and the verb agreements and the noun classes and everything was just all just right, and trying to get it all right done. And once I got that all done and proofed and thinking that it was fairly accurate and I was not saying anything culturally bad or doctrinally inaccurate, and trying to be able to get it all right, and then I would try to memorize it. Because you know how uninspiring it is to be able to get up and your pastor gets up and he reads the sermon. I remember one some of my early sermons that I preached. I can go back and look through those notes and I am totally humiliated at some of the words that were used. We had one dear lady that she would walk several hours to come to church. And I would get up on Sunday morning and I would, 3 days to prepare. Honestly, I'm using every word that I know how to use, and it was about a 15-minute sermon. You guys would probably like a 15-minute sermon, wouldn't you? Okay, for all you that laughed, I'm docking you, okay? I would preach, I would get everything out, and she just walked a couple hours to church. And we sang, and we have a service, and about a 15-minute sermonette, and she's like, I don't want to walk all the way back home. Go back and preach it again. They need courage. Pray for courage. Thank God the Lord gave me complete fluency in Swahili. Thank God God was able to use, and I was able to teach, I was able to preach, I was able to lecture, and just... God was gave great ability. It was only by God's grace and a whole lot of patience and practice. And a lot of prayer from a lot of God's people. Just so you can hear a little bit of Swahili. John 3:16 in Swahili is this. Kwamana jinsihi mungu, that's God. Mungu aliupendu limwengu. Hata kam toam wenawe peke. Ili kila mtu amwaminie asipote. Amen? You hope, amen. But yes, that is John 3:16. And boy, what a blessing it is to be able to give it now in a foreign language and be able to see the people understand and be able to receive it and completely comprehend the message we're trying to give. I remember the first time in my language school, I was able to give the complete plan of salvation to my language teacher. I spent many times trying to witness, and I was, at the time I was able to finally give everything in the language of Swahili. He stopped and he looked right at me and he says, is that what you've been trying to tell me all along? Wow. But before receiving it personally, he immediately turned and he said, but what about my father? I said, what do you mean? I said, let's go talk with him. He said, no, you understand. He died last year. Where is he? He says, you Americans, you've sent your products here for many, many years. I mean, we have your Coca-Cola. We've got everything. I mean, you name it, we've got it here. But we haven't heard this. Why did it take so long? That's why your missionaries need to learn the language. Be patient with your missionaries. Pray for them. Pray for courage. Pray for courage. Next, we need to make sure that we do pray for character. Pray for their character. Pray that God will keep them from sin and temptation. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 2:11, you have it there in your verse there, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Yes, we need to always make sure that we, personally, we are on guard. Amen. Satan is that roaring lion that's always seeking about, seeking whom he may wandering about, seeking whom he may devour. We need to make sure we pray for our missionaries. But by the way, Satan will do all he can to ruin a testimony. Can you imagine the effectiveness that it would take for a missionary family that gets there? And they all, everybody knows the new family. Everyone knows who they are and where they're from and what they're there for. And Satan gets an advantage. Oh, how we need to make sure we pray for their character. Paul emphasizing self-discipline in order not to be a castaway or a casualty. He says, But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let me tell you, we have enough casualties, don't we, in the spiritual life. We need to make sure that we don't have our missionaries become that. We need to pray for them. And it's sad sometimes when things do happen. And oh, although we can be very quick to criticize when a missionary has to come off the field, when perhaps there's been a moral failure or there's been a problem on the field, and we can be able to say, well, this missionary, we've been supporting him, we've been giving him for all these years, and now look what's happened, and now look all this, and we could get very, very negative. But the question is, how much have we prayed for him? Pray for them. Pray for their courage. Pray for their character. And under the same category here, pray that they will stay focused with the character. Pray that they will stay focused. It's easy to get sidetracked on the mission field. Because of home repairs, things constantly breaking, vehicle repairs, it's constant, constant, constant. And it's so easy to get out of focus. One of the second main causes of missionary failure in Africa is the frustrations of keeping everything fixed. Just plugging away, trying to get it all done. Paul says, we need to make sure we have the right thing focused. He says, but this one thing I do. I tease my wife that that's the only thing I have that's similar to the Apostle Paul. I can't multitask. So this one thing I do. That's taking a little out of context, but you know, but pray that the missionaries stay focused. Amen? Paul says, pray for us. For we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for the missionary and their character. Number three, write down, pray for their care. Their care. Verse there, 2 Thessalonians. I'll read just a few verses more there. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Let me tell you, some of the missionaries deal with some very difficult circumstances. I gave you one of many stories that I have last night. Thank God I had prayer warriors praying for me during that circumstance. By the way, some of the ladies asked my wife, what was my wife doing all that time? Well, that was back before cell phones. We had a thing. Well, see you when you see you. Sometimes we had to go to a village and I had no idea what was going to take place. I had no idea what was going to happen, what was going to go on.
Sometimes it was 2-3 days, sometimes longer, shorter. Thank God for a faithful wife that kept everything going, kept children going, kept herself encouraged. She herself knows Swahili. She herself taught. She herself helped the ladies. She herself, thank God for that. Pray for the missionaries for their care. Some deal with witch doctors, voodoo. Pray that their needs are met also, their physical and their emotional needs, being separated from the family. Let me tell you, Paul felt some of these things. Now, I teach the cultural adaptation class at BIMI there, and it's interesting, you know, they people ask, they said, did the Apostle Paul suffer culture shock or culture stress? Yes, he did. If you look on his second missionary journey, he writes, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Yes, he felt those culture pressures too. If he felt it, and his team, imagine how we as missionaries feel it. Pray for their care. And under the same category here, pray for their support. It's all part of their care. Listen, missionaries here, we completely live by faith. Honestly, we have no idea what's going to come in from month to month. We were talking even just a couple, yesterday afternoon. What comes in can vary greatly. We're in the hands of the Lord. That's manifested through the different churches that have agreed to partner with us. And although we hope that there's a certain range that we'll be able to at least have a budget for, and let me tell you, when economic times turn and things happen, when factories go out of towns and so forth and things begin to get difficult, yes, some churches have to make some adjustments. And I totally get that and I totally understand that. But you know what? We need to make sure we uphold our missionaries in prayer. Paul had his supporting churches. Can you imagine having him up on your wall? Who do you support? well, we support the Apostle Paul. That would be pretty neat. Imagine the returns on some of those from those churches and their support. But the church at Philippi. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, and I departed from Macedonia, after he started all the churches up there, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, when he was starting the church there, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And it seemed that that church was stopped their support for a time being, and later started up again, because later on he writes, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." When you pray for your missionaries, pray for their care. God will just meet their needs. God will bless them. That would help them. Help them in these difficult situations. They're dealing, I had several phone calls today, dealing with corrupt government officials. Trying to get visas, trying to get paperwork established, trying to get all that logistics and everything done, trying to deal with them. We have one missionary family right now that's being charged over $14,000 just for registration for them to live in the country. Working through that this morning. Pray for their care. God's calling there. Will He provide? Yes. Does God have a way He can work? Yes, He can. But can you imagine the pressure? Can you imagine the stress? Imagine trying to go through all the logistics of that. Pray for their care. Their care. Number four, pray for their children. How many of you realize that Satan doesn't play fair? Yep. He will attack any servant of God at any vulnerable sometimes children can be the target. We must pray a hedge of protection around our missionary children. Praise the Lord for the great team the Lord has given you guys. Thank God for the great family the Lord has given you all. Great kids, great spirit. Not all missionaries have that. Thank God for that. We need to pray a hedge of protection around every one of those. If there's children in there, we need to make sure we pray a hedge of protection around them. Pray a hedge of protection around the wife, around the man, around every child, that God would be able to spare them and help them and be able to bless them. Pray that the children will love being in the ministry. You have the verse there. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is of the first fruits of Achaia, that they, the family, the children, all involved, have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Wow. Now that's a good addiction. Amen. It's a good thing for the entire family to be addicted to that. Hey, I want to help. I want to be a part. Hey, this isn't just my daddy's ministry. This isn't just my parents' ministry. No, it's our ministry. We're a family. We're a team. We're a unit. We're laboring together. Amen. We need to pray for that. Pray for safety. All of that. Number five, lastly. Pray for their churches or their ministries. Pray for open doors, more opportunities they'll be able to present the gospel. Paul says here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray for them. Pray for the pressure that can be there. Pray for open doors that they can be able to go through. Many times they would get to the field, there's all excitement, they get all set up and everything's ready, and boy, they're ready to turn around and jump into ministry, and Satan's going to be right there to make sure everything gets slammed. What are you doing here? Why are you here? We don't want you here, missionary. Missionary, go home. Why are you here? Boy, now I tell you what. And by the way, let me say, there's always a lot of discouragers in ministry. Make sure you're not one of them. Always be an encourager to your pastor. Always, always, always. Pastors are like first responders. They're always dealing with problems. Just make sure you're not one of them. Amen. And the best way to make sure you're not one of them is always to be an encourager. Always be an encourager. I hope that you'll do that. Pray that God will open doors and opportunity. Pray also for direction. As I spoke on Sunday morning about the Macedonian call, and how he says, come over and help us. And it's interesting, the following verse, it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Pray for direction. Direction. We're dealing with several missionaries right now that are having to switch fields. Struggling with that. And I have to remind them, you read missionary biographies, you know all the old missionary heroes that we look up to? Nearly all of them had to switch fields at some point. Most people don't realize that David Livingston, he wanted to go to China. Ended up in Africa. So glad. Adoniram Judson. William Carey. Robert Morrison. I mean, you go right on. There's quite a long list. And I told the missionaries I'm having to switch fields. I said, you know what? You're in a good lineup. It's okay. God can be able to open doors, and sometimes it does happen. And we need to pray for direction. Pray for them as you're talking about their ministries. Pray that God would bless them, have open doors. Pray for direction. And also pray that God would give them grace. All underneath here. Paul writes here, he says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. As thank God, and I know you realize that, but I'm just going to say it right now. Thank God you have a pastor that not only is a leader, he has a pastor's heart. He's a caring person. He's a shepherd for their people. And let me tell you, if a pastor, a missionary, truly has a pastor's heart, there will be a lot of care, a lot of heartbreak that they will feel on behalf of their church. You know, the amazing thing is that the church member, they're going through trials and they're going through persecution, or maybe they're going through some struggle, or maybe it's a result of their own problems or whatever, and God will give them grace. He's promised it. Amen? God will give them grace to go through it, but many times they'll come to the pastor for counsel and for guidance. God hasn't promised the counselor grace. He'll give you grace. We need to pray for the leader. Pray that God will give him grace to be able to help, to be able to help us, to be able to help counsel. Pray for your missionaries that goes through this. Pray for them as they have national churches that are established, national leaders that they're going to need to work with. Wisdom and training and guiding. Today, trying to help one of the missionaries start a Bible Institute. This morning, I got several messages this morning from national pastors. Pray for me. We have this going. This is an issue and whatever. That constantly counseling, constantly helping. There is a care. There is a care that's there. So there's a whole lot more involved in praying than God just bless all the missionaries. God will take that prayer. But there's a whole lot more that we can be involved in. Let's pray that God will give them courage for their character, their care, their children, and the churches that God's given to them. You see, that's what a missionary means when he says, "Will you pray for us?" Put that into practice. Our Heavenly Father,